Don't move, Marcel.
Yeah. It's a big game. Who you know that got it behind the scenes like behind the O-line soon as the QB say hype? It's big game, big game, analysis from the player's point of view, injuries, big trades, player news, yeah, sector competition, and he played with Tony Dungy, better listen, I'm talking about
Big Game Sports Buzz,
said everything you need and more, yeah.
Big Game Sports Buzz,
I thought I told you once before, we call him
Big Game James,
yeah,
Big Game James, Big Game James.
What's up, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Big Game Sports Buzz with a sports fanatic and the fan. That's me. Sports fanatic and the pro athlete get together with other fans and talk about pro sports and all sports and everything else. Oh, we already starting?
Yeah, you are started.
Man, don't start with me, bro. It's come on. What are we doing here? I am Jay Stoggs, the Buff Nerd. Let's go. And of course, I'm joined by the man, the myth, the legend, the reason why we have the show called what it is. That guy over there, Big Game James. What up, dude? How you feeling?
What up, Jay? Welcome, man.
Cinnamon crickets right there. Like cricket.
You want a cricket? That's messed up, bro. Let's see what we're doing, bro.
Oh, man. Please, for those that are joining and coming in, make sure that you like, subscribe, and smash that bell, right, to let you know when Big Game Entertainment is coming through, smash. Because we have stuff for you. Make sure that you also can catch us on Amazon, Spotify, Apple, and all your favorite podcast platforms. Make sure that you comment because we'd love to hear what you got to say. We have some exciting things to go over tonight, some real good subjects, and of course start thinking about that top five, folks. Top five adult drinks. Hey, come on with it. Let's see what you got, and maybe, you know, we'll exchange some recipes, see what you like, see what we like, who knows. That's it. You like it?
That's a good job, man. You know, you was on fire today, boy.
Hey, man, I'm trying to get better, man. Lost me some pounds, you know. I'm on a thing right now. I'm doing.
Hey, y'all,
thing.
The Buff Nerd is gonna be the anorexic nerd. Sorry, if I offended anybody, let me find a new word. He's gonna be the little nerd.
Skinny.
In a minute.
I'll all be right, the skinnier nerd. The skinnier.
He'll just be thick skinny. Nerd. He's still gonna be thick. I don't give a damn how much weight he lose.
I'll be buff though, buffer.
All right. Well, hey, since you did such a great job with that introduction, man, let's go ahead and kick off these four downs, baby.
All right. As has been reported through Fox Sports, Jim Caldwell, you may remember him from Indianapolis and Detroit as a head coach there, has also been on staff in different other places and been a great coach. But he actually came out and said, and I want to make sure I have this quote right, "Right now, the only job I'm concerned about is the job I do here," which he is now a senior consultant with the Carolina Panthers, who have just hired their head coach, right? Frank Reich, who he coached with back in the day. "Right here and now," the 68-year-old Caldwell said, "I'm not worried about the future or anything else. I don't plan on being a head coach from this point forward." He goes on and laments and talks about, you know, how he's interviewed for two head coaching jobs this season and just wasn't able to break through after the Detroit debacle, if you will. So, which is, it's just a culture that's there. Game.
Damn.
Yeah. You know, he's kind of letting the lid off and say, "Hey, they're not hiring us."
Yeah, why bother? In a nutshell, that's what's coming down to. Why bother? I'm bothered by this a lot, Jay Stoggs.
Yeah.
I am, because I know Jim Caldwell. Jim Caldwell was on the staff when I was in Tampa and in Indianapolis, and also my cousin had him try to recruit me when he was the head coach at Wake Forest.
Mm-hmm.
he later came out and said they made a mistake, that they should have recruited me. But I wasn't going from California to North Carolina. Anyway, long story short, man, just to know Jim, the kind of person he is, to get screwed over the way he did in Detroit, because that's really what it was. I mean, you fire him, you bring in Patricia, and that was just a dumpster fire, as we like to say, and was never any better, right? And we're going to touch on some of these double standards here when we, you know, get down to our fourth down in this segment. But because I got some good juice, I got some good tea for you on that, bro.
Man, let's go.
But yeah, I'm concerned about that, because in a nutshell, here it is, coaches, black coaches, and I say this a lot, and I talked about it last night on a Big Games Weekly Rewind. I hate when I have to start talking about color when it comes to coaching. Yeah. But it's blatant, dude. It's out there. It is what it is.
Yeah.
It's not going to change until someone, you know, really puts their foot down to make a change, because Jim Caldwell never should have really been in a situation where he was out of a job, let alone getting to a point where he's so frustrated, he's like, I'm not even looking no more. I'll be cool with what I do. It's it's bull, dog. It's bull.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's, I mean, that's, again, that's not essentially, that is what he has said. Now, he's talked about, you know, the OC and the DC that are there now, you know, they're in line to be the next coach after Reich.
And they hired two people of color. You know, just if anybody out there that doesn't know that, they hired two people of color.
They did. The OC and DC are both people of color, but it still goes to the fact that, you know, here's a person, again, 68 years old, that's been in the game for a very long time, very knowledgeable, who would have to believe. And yet, he's the type of person that's saying, you know what? Forget it. I'm done. I'm going to be a consultant. Dom Capers is another consultant who was hired on with him. So he's a senior offensive consultant. Dom Capers is a senior defensive consultant. You have two OCs that are of color, but it gets to a point again.
It's time for somebody to throw their hands up and throw these things. It's time to fight.
I mean, where do you draw the line? And he does praise, you know, the Commissioner Goodell, and he does praise the name is escaping me now, but he does praise the NFL as far as, you know, having at least try. But it's just the reality of the owners own the league.
Man, you can praise them, but at the same time, if you're not helping create a solution, you're part of the problem, man. Something's got to be done. This good old boy thing, man, is driving me crazy to where you really don't get a chance, or you have to make a lateral move to better circumstances to try to create a situation for yourself. It's bull, bro. I mean, I hate it. I hate it. I hate it. I hate it. If you really value me as a player, later on, you got to value me when it's my turn to coach. And like I said, I've always been turned off by the way coaching works in the NFL. And I feel like some brothers work their whole life, bust their behind, and never going to be more than a position coach, maybe a coordinator at best, that you never really going to get a chance. And I'm like, why am I going to work my ass off, never get a chance to be, you know, to hit that pinnacle? And and I know for a lot of good young coaches out there, it's a turnoff, because some of them don't feel like they really have a chance.
Do you think this is a damaging quote, a damaging mindset, a damaging article that came out, especially for those African-American coaches?
I think it depends on the age of the coach. I mean, you look at it, Jim Caldwell, 68 years old. He's almost 70.
Yeah,
he's getting up there in age when it comes to coaching. And you look at what the NFL is trying to do now. A lot of these teams are trying to go out and get, I'm getting the next great young quarterback whisperer. So they're going to get these young-ass coaches that think that they're going to be better at what they do because of their age.
Offensive-minded coaches as well.
They're great minds. And look at me great this year. Anyway, that's a whole nother show within itself, bro.
It is.
I think it can be deterring for some coaches, for some, some like Steve Wilkes. Steve Wilkes was very graceful with telling the Carolina Panthers, thank you for letting me finish the season off. And basically rode off into the sunset. They didn't even interview him as defensive coordinator. They didn't keep him. I think guys like Caldwell and Steve Wilkes are in a situation where, hey, man, maybe something will happen. If not, I'll just be happy with this job and ride this thing on out. Younger coaches, I hope, you know, like D'Amico Ryan's getting hired still shows right. that, hey, you can have a chance to do what you really want to do.
Right.
So I think it honestly just depends on the age of the coach, Jay, if that makes sense to you.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. Sticking with the NFL, let's move on to second down. There's been, you know, a lot of talk, of course, because we're now in free agency, the season's over. The QB position, Derek Carr has said, I'm not going to the Saints, and they're trying to find trade partners. Well, actually, they've cut him, so now he's trying to figure out where he's going to go. So free agency is going on for him. You got Lamar Jackson and that whole situation. They may franchise tag him. They may, you know, put a different type of tag on him. They may not. Who knows? Try to roll the dice. Aaron Rodgers is sitting out there like, eh, whatever. You know, there's always, even though I think this is now a minimal threat, that Tom Brady will come back.
No.
But I don't think he's coming back. Mm-mm. But there's QBs out there that are looking for new places or maybe eyeing, hey, maybe I need to go do something else. You know, Geno Smith is another name that has kind of come up, but they're like, you know what? We can stick with Geno. We think we're okay with him. Yeah, that money. Garoppolo is out there. You know what I'm saying? So now mm-hmm. he's going to move. And so there's just a lot going on. The question I have is, has the QB position become overvalued? Are we paying too much? Is the NFL, are the owners paying? Because we're seeing $50 million quarterbacks, $40 million quarterbacks, you know, $38 million quarterbacks that have not produced.
Jay, I've heard
not
you.
Included.
I've heard, yeah, I will say I've heard you and Trey talk about it on your Cowboys Cutting Up show.
Yeah.
I've heard people who are Minnesota Viking fans talk about it with Kirk Cousins.
I mean, you know, Green Bay.
It's a copycat league, right? As soon as one quarterback gets paid, every other quarterback that has a contract coming up that's a starter is excited. I mean, think about it. Daniel Jones talking about he's not taking less than $40 million a year off of one decent season. Of what – and guess what? I'm not mad at Daniel Jones for asking about that because the norm. You know what I mean? That's what people have been paying quarterbacks. People are like, oh, my God, the Cowboys overpaid Dak. So Dak wasn't supposed to take the money that they offered him? Don't blame the quarterback for taking it. The market was created by agents and teams. And to now, the running back contracts are all backloaded heavy, and they end up restructuring or cutting them before they even came close to the money. Yet these quarterbacks are making four. Come on, man. The Arizona Cardinals just paid Kyler Murray. That tells you that the damn position is overvalued. Now, Kyler Murray is a great athlete.
Yes.
But he's an athlete that had to be told when and how to study film, and you go give him this money.
Facts. I don't care what they backtrack and say.
Hold on, Hey, Arizona GM.
Well, I think also, man, you know, and not to dump on your team, but you know, we look at Tom Brady at $35 million cap hit, you know, after that retirement. So now it hamstrings your people, your team. To say, hey, the top, like you have 10 people that's commanding 60, 70, 80% of your payroll. And so now you got to figure out the other 43 under the cap.
And you're trying to win games. You're trying to figure out how to win games and be competitive. Look at Green Bay.
Yeah.
Aaron Rodgers eating up so much of that cap, man, to where you could even really go out and get nothing else free agency. It's some bull. Yes, yes, and yes. Is the quarterback position overvalued?
Overvalued.
Not just yes. Hell yes, Jay. Yes.
Hell yes?
Yes.
Gotcha. I thought that was very interesting when I saw that about Brady and said, man, that's tough, and started looking around. Because I know here, and I complain about what's going on here and saying, this dude doesn't perform, and he gets a lot of, you know, stuff thrown at him. And people, they, you know, fans being fans, and who we are, but we also look at, hey, he's getting paid $40 million. He should be playing on a $40 million type of performance level.
But, Jay, can I say something to his defense?
Yeah.
You can't take his number one target away and not give him anything back and expect him to perform.
I agree. You know, and we can save it up for tomorrow that's going to be a good conversation to have of, you know, when you take targets away – or they get hurt, who do you blame? Or you have maybe a bad OC or OC that doesn't understand your game. So, you know, yeah, all of that is there. So let's move on. Third down. Listen, I don't know. I know in the whole, you know, All-Star and all that was going on, the XFL made its return again for the third time. I'm going to ask you this, game. Did you watch any of the games?
I did. I watched the Houston Leathernecks and the Orlando Guardians game. I watched some of the Arlington Wranglers game.
Renegades, there we go.
Excuse me. Yeah, I knew it started with R, dog. My bad. Wranglers, Renegades, and Cowboy kind of people. Go get somebody, rope them up. Yeehaw.
Wow. In the Vegas Vipers.
I talked about this last night on my show. And I had to just straight mimic that. But I like it. And I think it's a good thing. Now, the scary thing for the XFL is opening day numbers and viewers was down 20% compared to when it came back in 2020. I thought it would be a little bit higher. I think you got an entertainer like The Rock that bought into it, that's trying to go about it the right way. He had some good ideas that a lot of people didn't take him up on. You know what I'm saying? Like, he wanted to try to merge with the USFL. They didn't want that. He wants to make this like a farm system, which I think is very smart. The one thing people have to realize, and people say, oh my God, these rules are just so different. I don't understand it. It's not that different. If you understand basic football, you'll understand these rules.
Yeah.
If you are going into an XFL game, watching it, thinking you're about to see NFL football, you're crazy. Now, are there NFL caliber players on there? Yes, but instead of a 53 NFL roster, you probably got five guys on each team that's probably capable to go play right now in the NFL. You're like, how he get through the XFL? He good. You're going to have some of them. You'll see that, and those guys will get a chance, which The Rock wants them to get snatched from his league and move on, which is a great thing. So
absolutely.
I watch some games, yes, and I will continue to watch some games because it's football. I'll watch some basketball. You know, March Madness is coming up. You know, we're going to be indulged deep in that. And y'all stay tuned because we're going to have the big game entertainment NCAA bracket out there for all our fans to join and watch. So y'all be ready for that. But, you know, Jay, I embrace – springtime football, because to me, if it's done right, it's developmental. And the NFL really needs to think about partnering up with somebody. Because think about it, hockey has a farm system, baseball has a farm system, NBA has a farm system. NFL, since NFL Europe has been over, has not had anything that they designate as a farm system. And these young guys who get cut from these teams, this is a way for them to undrafted. Go get the film. Or they don't get the. What a lot of people don't realize, Jay. There's a 53-man football roster in the NFL, right?
Yes.
They bring like 80-something, almost 90 guys in the camp. You know how many guys aren't really going to get reps? And these motherfuckers don't practice no more.
Yeah, yeah.
They just don't even work and practice no more, right?
Right.
So now you get young guys says like, oh, man, he had a chance. He just didn't make it. Yeah, but you can't judge nobody off five plays a day in camp and then four plays a quarter in a preseason game.
Right, and it's that part that really gets me is that, and to your point, you get five plays a day, you go to meetings, right, and then you have to perform in four quarters of play against sometimes their first string, sometimes it's not. It just depends. You know, in Dallas, we don't play first string offense here, but we'll play first string defense most times. So it's I agree, man. If it's done right, I'm watching it. And I watched it. I liked it. I enjoyed it. I think it's one of those things that, you know, with time, kind of like it reminds me of arena football. In that, you know, it's arena football. It has different rules, right? It's a different style of play. And so, like, the best thing I liked about it was two things that I took away from it was when they went to the booth for the replays, like you hear them, hey, let's look for this, let's look for that, okay?
Right.
Are they carrying this? Like, I love that. And then the other part was the extra point, the 1, 2, and 3 point.
Yeah, I like that too, Jay, because you can get right back into a game. But you know what I like?
What's
that? I like in the fourth quarter, instead of the onside, you can go for the 4th and 15 from your 25-yard line. Like, hey, because you talk about the impact and taking away the collisions from the kickoff.
Yep.
And it's still feasible. Like, you go for it, you get it, cool, that's your ball. If not, the other team get the ball, and shit, you had a chance. Yes. I like that. I really do.
And you speak about the kickoffs. Yeah, you speak about the kickoffs, and I think it's what, the kickoffs, where they're lined up a lot closer. Dude kicks the ball off. Hey, he catches it or whatever the case may be, and then the impacts are a lot smaller. They're not as devastating.
Yeah, they don't have that run-up. Yeah.
Yeah, you're running full speed ahead down there. So, no, there's definitely things I liked about it. I hope it does gain momentum, and I'll be there, man. I'll be there. Hey, if you're watching XFL, I'm down for some media passes.
Will it last?
Fourth down.
Will it last? That's the question. Ooh. I think it should. People, get out there and support the XFL, y'all. I ain't say love it and play it, but support it, man. I mean, we got to talk. Me, you, Reed, we need to go to a game over in Arlington.
I'm down with it, man. All right. I'm down with it. Cool. Fourth down, let's get to it.
That's, I apologize.
We kept saying we hoped this didn't happen, man. But it did.
Mm-hmm.
Eric Bieniemy is now officially the offensive coordinator for the Washington Commanders. Right decision, wrong decision.
Man, Jay, so, you know, one of my boys, man, called me. He said, yo, when you doing the show? I said, we going on tonight. He said, man, you talking about EB? I said, at first I was like, who? He said, Bieniemy, dog, you know that's my boy. You going to talk about EB? I was like, oh, yeah, we definitely going to touch on EB, you know, that job. He said, man, it's bullshit. And I'm going to tell you why. I want him to come, you know, get on here and ask some questions while we watch it. I don't know what he's doing. But anyway, man, one of my partners, man, went to school at the University of Colorado and was, you know, was good friends with Eric Bieniemy.
Yeah, Buffalo, yeah.
And still talks to some of the, you know, guys in their circle. And so, long story short, Bieniemy didn't really want to leave to go to Washington, but was told by other teams and GMs that they wanted him to prove that he could do it without the help of Andy Reid.
Wow.
Right. That's, man. Right. So, Jake, you think about this. Here it is. You call him your offensive coordinator. Patrick Mahomes, after the Super Bowl, came out and said, dude, I don't know what I would do without Eric Bieniemy and his work and his play calling, right? This is what Mahomes said. He said it on the sideline on the interview, right? But now, Bieniemy's told that he has to go prove that he's capable of being successful without Andy Reid. And like I said, I hate talking about bringing race into it. You don't ask any of these other young white guys. No one asked Nick Sirianni to go prove himself from under someone else before he got the Philadelphia Eagles job.
Right.
No one asked your boy McVay out in L.A. to go prove anything without, you know what I mean? Like, all these other young, supposedly, Cliff Kingsbury didn't prove shit. He got fired at Texas Tech and then ended up getting a job in Arizona. Why is it that a guy that's been in the NFL coaching for so long, like Eric Bieniemy, has to go and make a lateral move to be named interim head coach and offensive coordinator to see if he can do it without Andy Reid, yet he has no quarterback? He has an offense that needs a total overhaul, but you're going to force him to try to go prove himself. It ain't right, you know, dog. It ain't right at all, Jay.
Listen, I was saying it to my circle, and I kept saying this, you know, because we have Kansas City people in the house as well, right? And some people that know some people that know some people up there. And the thing is that there's a lot of chatter between Well, Andy Reid calls plays too.
Yes, he does. I heard that. That's another thing I got. Okay. Yep.
Andy Reid calls plays too. Is it Andy or is it Eric? Andy takes a lot of the credit doesn't really spread it around a lot of times. Now, he'll say, oh, yeah, our staff, and he'll maybe mention Eric Bieniemy if you bring it up to him.
Mm-hmm.
But he's not going to bring it up himself.
Right, right.
Right. Right. So the perception is that EB can't call a complete game. That's the perception.
And that's ego. That's Andy not wanting to give up total reign. We know that. And
that's it. That's it. So,
And
unfortunately,
also, go ahead. I'm sorry. Well, Andy also found out that, you know, Bieniemy at first was, you know, going to plan on just sticking it out. And then, you know, it's come up in conversation with people that Andy plans on staying a little bit longer than Eric Bieniemy mm-hmm. thought he was going to stay in Kansas City. So that's another reason he had to make that move.
Yeah, you know, when they asked him after the Super Bowl, hey, you know, there's rumors out there that you're retiring. You know, you keep talking about this is it. And he's like, nah, I think I'm going to stay around for a little bit longer. That part right there, you know, you can see it in his face like. So it's unfortunate because he has to do it this way. And with the team, look, I get it. I'm a Cowboys fan. I get it. The commies, trash. But here's the reality of that organization. They're in flux with their management and ownership. They're in flux on their offense. They're in flux on their defense, right? They're talking about trading away their former number one overall draft pick that they drafted 3 years ago in Young. Okay. So you're not sure there. You got a coach that's there right now, Rivera, that, okay, you're telling me that I'm basically going to try and help him be the next head coach to take my job, even though I feel I can still do my job?
And then you know what, Jay, we didn't talk about? Ownership might be changing. Daniel Snyder might be forced to, you know, sell his shares of the team, right?
Oh, no, he's got to sell it.
So he's got to sell it. What's going to happen when that new ownership comes in?
It's that part right there, game, that really frustrates me. Yeah, it frustrates me the most because you walking into a situation that, for all intents and purposes, and I hope he knows something that we don't, but I'm pretty sure it is what it is. It's not good, and it's not going to be favorable. So how long will he have in order to be able to prove himself?
Right, exactly. It's almost like you set him up to fail.
Oh,
and man. And think about it. It had to be the only situation out there where EB thought, damn, I got to take this now because I got to get to work to prove that I deserve a head coaching job. And to me, it's going to be hit or miss. Like, if he doesn't knock this out of the park and help turn Washington around, like, on the right now, he might not ever get a chance because it's also said that he hasn't had the best interviews blowing anyone's socks off.
Yep. Yep, that is what I've heard as well. And so I get it. I mean, I do get it. You know, especially when we talked about, you know, Jim Caldwell and what he said early in the first down. But for me, if you know what you have inside that organization, if you know and you sit down with Andy Reid and say, listen, here's the deal. This is what I want. Is that going to happen or not?
Right.
And just I would think that they have that type of relationship because he's been there for a minute now, that he can have that conversation and then he can discern from that, hey, you know what? This is good or nah, this isn't, and then be out.
Right.
And maybe he did. And maybe that's why he did make that decision. Like, hey, you know what? I can't trust this dude no more. So,
man,
or our relationship is different now.
But, Jay. Ooh,
you know what it makes you say?
Hell yeah. I know exactly what it made me say.
Oh, hell no.
That's right, folks. This is the segment of our podcast where we look around the league and in sports. And people just do things that make us say, oh, hell no. This week, big game has got it. What you got for us?
Well, Jay, you know, we talked about it last week on the show of if we were going to indulge and watch NBA All-Star Weekend. And we're going to talk about that a little bit more when we get to our segment, Keep It on the Court.
Yes.
But here it is, whereas I always look at All-Star Saturday night to take me back to a part of my young, my young teenage years and my childhood that was pure excitement and joy watching slam dunk contests, three-point shootout. The NBA's added on to it. They got the celebrity game. They've got the Rising Stars game, and they got the skills challenge. Added on to it, trying to do more and more and more. And I made a crazy video and sent it to you this weekend.
You did.
About the slam dunk contest being back. And I got excited for a minute. And then I stopped and realized and thought, the things I loved about the slam dunk contest were the stars that were in it.
Yep.
Was the big names, the Vince Carters, the Blake Griffins, the Dominique Wilkins, the Michael Jordans.
Yeah.
The, you know what I'm saying, the Sean Kemps. You know, Dr. J's. These guys performed and went after each other in dunk contests to have bragging rights of who dunked and reigned supreme in the NBA.
Yeah.
And now we have to turn to a G League YouTube sensation to get excited about the dunk contest. And I have a problem with that. There's something wrong with that. Two names I'm going to say that I know people will get excited about.
Yeah.
Ja Morant, Anthony Edwards.
Put them in.
Wow. You know what I'm saying? Like, really? This has gotten to a point where it's stupid. Now, we're going to talk about this and keep it on the court. So I don't want to beat it with a, you know what I'm saying? But for big name NBA guys to think that they're too good. And I blame LeBron James set this goddamn precedent when he never wanted to do it. So now stars came in thinking that they didn't have to do the slam dunk contest. That's what, who did it. I blame LeBron James.
Well, why would you blame LeBron?
Because he never participated in the slam dunk contest. I've
heard this take somewhere else. I've heard this take as well. But why?
Because he changed the damn narrative of stars doing the dunk contest and these young jack wagons have followed suit. So anyway, we can talk about it again later, but hey man, to just All-Star Weekend slam dunk contest when you want to be odd and wild by your superstars of the league and they don't do that for you, they let you down, I got to hit them with a, oh hell nah.
I'm with you on that. That's cool. We're down with it. Moving on, and look, perfect segue. You talk about the G Leaguer. Is the dunk contest back? That's good. Is the dunk contest back?
Now,
did the All-Star Weekend exceed expectations? Or
the skills challenge was kind of dunk-yody. Was kind of ass.
Yes. Right. Good to see you, my guy.
Hey, what's up, man? Thank you for stopping by, brother. Stoggs, I'm straight up just going to say it. There were parts of it I liked. Like, I love, man, DK Metcalf dunking all over everybody, and then that crazy-ass video of him coming out catching that ball was just, watching the celebrity game was kind of cool. It always is, because it's a celebrity game, you know what I'm saying? But so these new guys ain't playing for free. And for them to get for winning, they ain't playing. I feel you, Jay, but it's got to be more than that sometimes. You know, like, you're right. Bragging rights meant something back in the day. Because I know we would love to go after we drug somebody in the pickup game at the park, we're going to let you hear about it. And we're going to let everybody at school the next day hear about it. Like, dog, you should see it. We went at it. Boy, we took them ankles. We did. I mean, they brag, but it's not even the same kind of bragging now. Like, these fools don't even know how to talk trash. I listened to my son, like, I was like, what was that? He said, I was talking trash. Man. And I was like,
because they're YouTube trash, man. That's they learn how to talk trash on YouTube. Is DK getting tested?
Hey, man.
DK, I don't know who's testing him.
DK getting tested. That might have been Photoshop, bro. But needless to say, Jay, is it dunk con? Mac McClung, I will say this. YouTube sensation, internet sensation. Yeah. You know, his viral dunks in high school got him to Georgetown before he transferred to Texas Tech. to get him a shot in the league. You know, I think he went to the Lakers first and then and is now with the Philadelphia 76ers G League team. Dude can fly. Dude was super exciting to get that many 50s in a round. It was all the way live. You know, I just, I give it to him. I like it. That kind of dunker does bring the excitement back, but do we have to hold it in a different standard of what needed it to be? You can't sign him to a two-way contract just so he qualifies to play, I mean, to participate in the dunk contest.
That's what they do. It's not the same competitive as it used to be. Here's what I want to say about this, though, okay? I got to say this because some would say that I'm a LeBron lover. I'm not. I appreciate what he is, but – here's the question. Is LeBron creative enough to win it? Is he creative enough to win it?
I think LeBron could come through. Well, not now. 38, he ain't.
Well, even I, then.
Hey, LeBron then. Is a high enough flyer to where he could have come up with some stuff
bro,
to get the dunks, listen, the tosses, the catches. The you, yes.
You can only dunk from the free throw line so much. Okay? Look, when Blake Griffin, when he dunked over the Kia car.
Yeah.
Adam Levine, or Avril, whatever, when he, like, jumped over and he put, like, underneath both legs.
That was Aaron Gordon.
Aaron Gordon, I'm sorry. It was Levine and Gordon, though. They were battling back and forth.
Hey, that's like, a damn, boy, that dunk contest. That's classic. Yeah. 16, that's, not 2016. That was savage.
That's classic. That's classic. I mean, league-wide, okay, sure. The dunk contest, I don't think so, Jay. I don't think so. What we saying, the only problem with Bron Duncan is he is for more. And that's the thing. He's not a flashy dunker. So if you're not a flashy dunker, that's what he's going to get. Third place. And he don't want he's not finna do that.
Jay, if you go back, okay, let me tell you something.
Not a dunker.
Okay, like listen. That. You go back to 2003 or whenever LeBron James came into the NBA, young, flying LeBron James, mm-hmm. power dunking LeBron James. Yeah. He still would have gone in and won a dunk contest just because of who he is and how hard he would have been dunking the ball. My whole point is to set a precedent on being in the dunk contest.
Hold on. Because see, when people start talking about this stuff, right, and they're like, oh, he would have won when he first came in and da-da-da-da-da. Okay, let's think about who was there and who won when he came into the league, right?
Shed some light on it, baby. I know that's what you did. I heard you. I saw your little, you know, I saw saying? Your little skinny fingers typing because you done lost a little bit of weight.
Click, 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 click. Hey, that's what I do. I mean, okay, in 03, Jason Richardson won it.
Okay. Back, he can fly.
He can fly. Fred Jones, Josh Smith, Nate Robinson. He ain't beat Nate Robinson.
LeBron can compete with them in a dunk contest when he's first in the league. Come Bro. On, Jay.
This is when he first came in.
All right.
Man. This is when he first came in.
All right.
This is 03, 04, 05.
So you're saying LeBron James set the precedent of being scared of not being crowned dunk champion, and that's why he never participated?
I mean, hey, you can say what you want to, but, you know, let me see what you're saying, Jay. Oh, yeah, back then he definitely would have won. Let me ask you this, Zion, his whole hype coming out. No, Zion can, he would never win.
He owes us one, Jay. You're right. Yes, he does. But will he ever be healthy enough to do one?
That part. And
he's a power dunker.
He's a, okay, so. Think about the last power dunker. Who was the last power dunker that won?
Dwight Howard, right? Would you consider that? And he's 7 foot.
There's nothing powerful about Dwight Howard. I'm not giving him that. I would say maybe Blake Griffin.
Okay.
Maybe. But I mean, to me, a true power dunker his size that's not a big man, to me, would be like Sean Kemp.
Oh, damn. That's really?
And Sean Kemp didn't even participate in the dunk. Well, actually, yeah, he did. He didn't win.
He did.
He didn't win.
Sean Kemp never won a dunk contest.
No, he did not win.
I mean, I'm not arguing. I just asked a question, bro.
I'm just telling you. He didn't win.
To not beat a dead horse, and I know we got to keep this train going, right?
Yeah.
Is a slam dunk contest back? If you can get NBA dunkers like Mac McClung to participate, yes. Or why not just do a big dunk contest like they had on TNT back in the day, where they, you know, got, just make it an outside the league dunk contest.
Oh, okay, like a blacktop. I mean, you know, look, whatever they got to do, that's fine. I say like this, and I think what you see with McClung is maybe what's going to happen in the future, is that you submit a tape, and you have judges that will say, hey, we're going to get the top 5, 6, 7 dunkers in the U.S. or wherever.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to bring them in.
Okay, now we're talking.
We're going to bring them in.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Yeah.
And so, you know, they're going to get hype from YouTube and TikTok and all of this. We're going to bring them in. Right? And we're going to say, hey, and even open it up to the public. Hey, vote for the top dunkers you want to see. And the top vote getters, the top 7 vote getters come in. And they compete. And that's how you do it. That's how you open it up. I should work for NBA.
Look at that little buff brain of yours working right now.
I'm telling you, man, it's so much clearer with all the weight and with the weight going, man. What is this? If I see Zion Ja or one of the top 3 dunkers in the NBA in it, then the answer is no. If I don't, man, whatever. They're not going to compete. Zion is not going to compete because he's so scared he's going to get hurt. Ja's not going to compete because, you know, he got to throw money on a plane, and that's just not his deal. And, yeah, that's just not – they're not about that. But I think if you open it up to G Leaguers or anyone else in the world that feel like they can do it on the biggest stage, hey, give them a chance. Have a committee, 7 best dunkers. You can put Dominique on there. You can put Jordan. You can put past winners. Put them on there, let them judge, and hey, we don't even have to worry about that. And there you go. Answer solved. Man, look, there's been movement. There's been movement. Even after the trade deadline, there's been movement. Westbrook said, hey, you know what? Orlando, not for me. And Orlando said, you're right. It's not. Why don't you just go ahead and move across the street? He is now a Clipper.
Not out. Westbrook was from Utah.
Utah, my bad.
Patrick Beverly got cut in Orlando. Yeah. Was now supposed to be going to what? Detroit.
Detroit.
No. Whatever.
No.
Chicago, I think it is his home.
Chicago.
Yeah. All right. So you say Westbrook is going? He ain't even across the street. It's the same building. Right.
Across the street. I mean, right or wrong move.
It's the right move for him. He gets to stay at home in L.A. He's played with PG-13 before. They have a chemistry. They know how to work together. How many other chances does he have? What good would he have done in Utah?
True. Nothing. Nothing at all.
So I think it's the right move for him.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm not a Clippers fan at all.
Not really.
I'm a Mavs fan. Right. At all, period. But do you think from the Clippers standpoint, this was the best thing they could have done?
It gives them depth.
That's the question. Are they contenders now? Are they title contenders now?
How long does Kawhi Leonard stay healthy? And him and Paul George haven't been on the court a whole lot together this year at different times, and they're starting to play good now. In the West, are they really a real contender? I think it makes them better. I don't, you know what I'm saying? I say yeah, they're a contender.
Keeping with that, and again, make sure that you like. If you're viewing, make sure that you like. Go ahead. It costs you nothing.
Hit that thumbs up.
Make sure that you like the thumbs up. Is the West now too strong? Are we basically saying it's inevitable that, hey, they're going to go ahead and win?
No, I don't think they're too strong.
Maryland, thank you for coming through. Appreciate it.
Love you, Ma.
Thanks, Ma. Don't let me call her Maryland no more, man. It's mom's.
I don't know if I want to use the word too strong, Jay. I mean, the West is loaded. And Kyrie and KD just added, just came to the West. You're right. But
yeah,
too strong?
Too strong.
Man, brothers in the East get paid to play too. They have to play ball.
Yeah. But who's in the East now? Embiid,
Boston, Milwaukee, and Tatum. Philly.
That's three teams you just named.
I mean, you asked me a question, dog. I can't lie and just make up stuff. You want me to say the Knicks are finally arrived with Julius Randle and Brunson?
No.
They're better.
Stop it. Stop it.
RJ Barrett's playing good, but.
Let me ask this question. Mm-hmm. You know, because I'm going to move right into it. We talked about Kyrie, KD moved. Is there something bigger going on in Brooklyn? Now, they just extended Vaughn.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Do you think there's something no bigger going on in Brooklyn right now?
No, I don't. I just think Kyrie was just Kyrie and just decided, you're not going to give me what I want. I want out. And once that happened, KD was like, well, shit, got me here. He want out. I want out, too. I don't think it's bigger than that, man. I just think you had two stars that came together. They realized that Ben Simmons was not going to be the third piece of that puzzle to help them out.
Mm.
Kyrie jumped ship. KD wanted out, and he picked the team he thought was best to help him get another championship. And he picked the team in the West because he knew that the Nets would not trade him anybody in the East, and there was no one competitive enough in the East. They weren't going to put him on Boston. They weren't going to put him on Milwaukee. So he had to go out West. Now you talking about bust? Win or bust, I think they're getting hit with that label this year, man.
They have
a lot of pressure on themselves, bro.
I think absolutely. But we'll see how it works. Now, hey, man, All-Star break is over. Now the real season begins. So now, as that's beginning, let's go ahead and let's wrap this thing up on this football season. Let's do it. You know what? The reality is football season never ends.
Nah, no more. We talking about mock drafts, and I'm working on a day because the fans asked me for what up, Wallace. I mean, I had a couple of fans say, "Big game, man. When you gonna do Buccaneers mock draft?" Dibba, 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 dibba. We talk about doing a mock, so I got to do a mock. I'm up at work, hey man. And the mock draft takes some time because you got to study the players you think that they will pick the positions your team need. But needless to say, the combine is about to start. We'll be talking about that. We'll be talking about OTAs. We'll be talking about draft. Football don't sleep now because sports shows need things to last year round.
Like we do content. So, let's kick this off, man. The Derek Carr saga. We kind of talked about a little bit earlier about QBs being overvalued. The latest in it now is that his brother's coming out and saying that, you know, this time is going to be a long, long journey. It's not going to be quick as far as him being signed free, this free agency of his. What do you make of this?
Man, look, it didn't work out in Las Vegas.
No.
They wanted to trade it to dump some of that money off. He didn't want to go just right to the Saints. He declined it because he had that option, that no trade clause in there.
Yeah.
So they cut him to save themselves some money. And now he has to pick. He's went and visited New York Jets. He plans on visiting other places once other things happen. Look, this is my whole thing. I think Derek Carr is going to be a good addition for someone. Because it's the offseason, there's not a lot going on after the Super Bowl. I think we're making more out of it than what it really is. He's a free agent quarterback. He needs a home. He's a veteran that's of some value and worth. So he's a name that's out there that's saying that everyone. I mean, I even talked about it on Peter Perspective Stogs that he's someone that the Buccaneers should consider trying to bring in. But with all the cap issues that we have, you know, it's going to be tough. But the saga continues because in New York, I heard that the Jets really like Aaron Rodgers and want to make a play there. But free agency will start where they can sign Carr before they can make a trade of Aaron Rodgers, right? So who knows what's really going to happen first? How long they want to wait? Does Derek Carr want to wait, or will he move on to someone else? It's almost like, let me know what happened, man. This is my thing. I want a veteran quarterback on my team. They need to find somebody. If Carr doesn't want to be that guy,
he'll score the Jets.
They go to Tampa or New Orleans. Hey, bye. Go to New York, man. Good luck. Just don't give me Zach Wilson in return.
I don't think Carr wants to go with the Jets because they are not contenders. They're a good team.
No. Dude, they got young weapons, man. With a quarter. Jay, they won six straight games before Zach Wilson started playing like Helen Keller.
That part. So I'm not saying that. What did I just say? They're a good team. Are they contenders?
Okay, so what contender does he go to? Where does he go and instantly have a chance to win a Super Bowl? Let me know. Please tell me.
Nowhere. Everybody's good.
No, but you know, there's somewhere. But
what contender needs a quarterback right now?
But you look at a young, talented team. Shoot, he could go to LA and play with the Rams.
Stop it. They have their guy. Stat Pafford is out there, you know, pushing or not putting, letting people fall off the stages. He's good. Yeah. Straight flesh shola. Yeah. He's, you know, maybe Seattle, but they got Geno. Maybe San Francisco.
Dude, they got Purdy and Trey Lance. No, dog. No, stop. I'm trying to find a whistle.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I'm looking around the league at contenders.
Stop it. Flag on the play.
People that went to the playoffs, and all of them have, they set a quarterback, with the exception of Tampa Bay. That's the
and
only
Dallas.
One. Damn you. Let's move on, man. So there's talks out there that, wait a minute, hold on. Before we move on, the Jets need a QB and they would have
Wallace. Debatable, okay. But man, Buff Nerd is tripping, man. That's
debatable, but okay. All right. Jets need a QB. There's been talk out there that Justin Fields may be on the trading block because the Bears are considering maybe Mr. Young out of Alabama.
Damn.
That would be one of the dumbest moves ever to me in the NFL. Like, the Chicago Bears are just really trying not to improve and be better at all, right? You just pick a quarterback who's capable and I think can be okay, but you put him behind a crap offensive line, give him nothing to help protect him, and now you're talking about wanting to get rid of him to bring another young quarterback in and still don't address the offensive line?
Right. Right. Yeah. I feel like they are, but just the fact that they're even talking about this and that it's becoming headlines, that's a problem to me. That's a real problem to me. There should be no talks of Justin Fields being traded. There should be no conversations around, you know, the Bears talking about, hey, let's take a look at Bryce Young at all. At all. That's your quarterback. Build around him.
Stupid.
Right? Build around him. And then that way, there you go. You got it.
Is.
How's the QB carousel going to work this offseason? You know, again, we talked about different QBs moving around, some retiring, some not sure if they're retiring, you know, some wanting to quit or trade. I'm real curious about this, and I don't think there's really an answer. Or the media. Hey, look.
See, that's the thing, Wallace. We don't know where it's coming from. It's coming up. Reports. Who report? You report, or did the team really say they thinking about shopping him? That's like, I put a Mike Evans story out that we're going to talk about here in a second, and I got people in Tampa ready to shoot me.
But here's what I say about stuff like that is someone said something in order for someone to hear it. Right? Now, you can throw stuff out there and say, oh, I think Michael Parsons is ready to leave Dallas because, you know, their offense is so bad and he just doesn't see any way they can win. I can say that. But who am I getting that from? Nobody. Nobody. Now, if there's multiple reports, or if I say, hey, heard, you know, from a dude that knows him. I can't tell you, you know, don't tell me or don't tell anyone, but I'm just saying there might be something to it. I don't like it though.
Some sources carry a little bit more weight than others. We understand that. True. Hey Jay, this thing you put here in between the lines, dog, I'm just gonna say this real quick.
Yeah.
You asked me earlier, are we putting too much emphasis on overvaluing the quarterback position? This question alone lets you realize that the answer is yes. Because there's so many other moves that are going to take place, so many other moves that need to take place. Like my team, who are we going to let go to free up cap space? What are we going to bring in? How are we going to address the offensive line? How are we going to address the defensive backs that we may lose to free agency? Hey, man, to hell with these quarterbacks, bro. I'm sick of talking about them. And the same ones we talk about, to hell with this carousel. If you want out, get out, bro. Bye. Hey. You got a quarterback on your team. You ain't got to worry about it. I need
him.
But at the same time, you drafted, to me, the Buccaneers draft Kyle Trask with the second round 3 years ago. You had to see some value. Let's see what he can do. Get a veteran. Stay with him. We got to utilize our free agent money other places anyway. So, we got to roll the dice and roll out with it.
I mean, this is his fourth year. That means that after this year, either you go for the option, which you're going to pay him. If you go for that, or you let them go, or you draft. So I mean, so you're right, man. I like this. Cowboys want Mike Evans. Listen, let me say this as a true diehard Cowboy fan. We want everybody.
Yeah,
this we want everybody.
And if we can get y'all did was a trade Amari Cooper away. That was stupid.
You know what? It wasn't so much. Here's what I'll say about that. It wasn't so much that we traded him away. It was what we traded him away for.
6-round draft pick.
Peanuts. Peanuts. Not even a soda. Just straight dry peanuts. No salt.
No salt.
No salt.
Unsalted
peanuts.
Damn.
Just regular old, right off the tree peanuts.
Just.
That's what we got.
Got to be more careful.
And expect, you know, yeah, you're right. We got to be more careful. I am great with this. I'm great. Do what you got to do. Cut who you got to cut.
Man, let me just.
You need weapons. We need weapons.
Hold on. I got something I got to do real quick. Let's pump the brakes on this shit right here. Mm-hmm. Because, like I said, I put a story out. And I titled it clickbait title. I ain't gonna lie. I put Buccaneers trading Mike Evans. I just want people to click that shit and watch it.
Come on, Stephen A. Don't do that.
This would be the dumbest thing ever that a Buccaneers could do. You, as a staff, you just came out and said that you weren't rebuilding, you're reloading. You don't reload a four-time Pro Bowl wide receiver who has 9 straight seasons of 1,000 yards receiving. In 9 straight seasons, right? 4 Pro Bowls. You don't send him to. And if you do trade him, you're not going to trade him within the NFC. So everyone who keeps coming up with that and talking about it, stop it.
Bring him home.
Stop it.
We love. Bring him home.
Jay,
bring
I want to
bring him home.
Yeah, look, that's
Thank
what y'all.
You.
Yes. No.
Bring him. Hey, he will be treated as such. Bring him home. Could you imagine CeeDee Lamb and Mike Evans on the same field?
I would tear something up. Can I tell you something straight up? And I shouldn't do this because it's going to be incriminating if it did go down. If Mike Evans ends up in Dallas alongside CeeDee Lamb.
You know you're going to have a Mike Evans jersey.
Something's going to get tore up. Something's going to get tore up. I'm just going to leave it at that.
Man, Mike, come home. We miss you. Come home. Come home. Get you a good Frito pie here, brother. Come on. Come home. Come home.
You done? Don't do that to me.
Come home.
Hey, man. You know what time it is, huh?
Do your little segment. Let's go. All right. This is the part that everyone hates. One got to go. All right. Let's.
Hey, man, you ain't got to be like that, y'all. Short, simple, sweet, and rude, man. Hey, you know what? I wish I had another button up here to push right now. Anyway, So we talked about basketball, and I just had to keep this theme on the court. And I did one similar, but these people are different. And I think I know who you're going to pick, but one you got to go because I'm sick of the antics and the drama. Kyrie Irving, Kevin Durant, LeBron James, Russell Westbrook. One got to go.
Russell Westbrook. That's easy.
I think. I mean, okay, go ahead.
No, what you say? You said one got to go, right?
Yeah, one got to go.
I'm you said low. LeBron,
the coach. Mm-hmm. What?
KD, was he like a four-time champion? Three-time champion?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Who was the other one?
Kyrie Irving and Russell Westbrook.
Kyrie Irving. He's a math. And he's a champion. What did Westbrook do? Nothing.
Hey, man, I'm saying Kyrie Irving. His theatrics and drama. You only like him now because he plays for Dallas. You hated him 3 weeks ago.
Yes. I can admit that. I'm okay with admitting that. I am a homer. Yes. If, now, look, wait. If we're talking straight playing.
No, but we're not talking just, I mean, this is not.
You're talking about overall, just everything? Just
overall with the side antics and everything else. Him and Russell Westbrook are neck and neck.
They are. They really are.
Kyrie just carries a little bit more shit to me, man.
You know, the issue is Kyrie going to play the whole season? Is he going to care about basketball enough the whole season?
That part.
And if we sign him after this season, for how long will he play during the seasons? So, but even over all that, the drama that comes with Westbrook, nah. Like, to me, he causes dissension in the locker room.
Okay.
You know, when you're yelling at coaches, like, you need to be better on the floor.
Good point,
that's a problem for me.
Good point.
That's a problem.
I will not argue that point, man. You make some good
points,
man.
So, hey. Every now and again.
Hey, man. It's time.
It's
time for the granddaddy of them all, baby. You know what it is.
Even when you feel low, you can still go. Even when you feel slow, you can still go. Even when there's no hope, you can still go. I never answer to no, man, I still go.
Hey, some people have a top 100. Some have a top 50. Some have a top 25. Some even punk out and do a top 10. But here on Big Game Sports Buzz, we have a top 5. Who's in? Who's out? What you checking for? This one here is kind of fun, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Top 5 adult beverages that you may partake in. Now, it could be straight, it could be mixed, it could be whatever it is. But of course, you have to be 21 to drink these things. So,
drink responsibly and stay thirsty, my friend.
Drink responsibly and stay hydrated.
Man, this is a good one, Jay. And I think there's a lot of ways you can go with this, which I like. Yes. But I kept it simple. For number 5, I'm gonna keep it real simple. Wine. Just keep a wine. Keep some wine around. Not necessarily for me. But you know, sometimes the wife or other people like to consume and partake. It's just wine. A good go-to everyday. Jesus drank wine. He made a. It's a good Jesus juice. Keep wine around. You got to have some wine.
Wow.
Jesus.
I hope Mama Harmon ain't listening right now.
Oh, she know what I like. She know what I like. It's all good. Number 4. Just a nice ice cold brew. Can't go wrong with a brew.
Okay. And then
so many different ones. Jay's trying to educate me, y'all, on craft beer, IPAs.
Trying to do it.
All this stuff. I still don't know what a lot is. I just know that you can't drink anything that says malt on it. It will tear you
up. No.
But
no.
A good beer. You know, you go somewhere, nice beer garden, something on tap that's nice. It's cool. It changes things up. And you can pair beer with a lot of different foods now, right?
That's so, very true.
Beer. Number three is one that's frequented often in my home, and they're made pretty well by Mrs. Canada. Margaritas. Margaritas. You got mango. You got strawberry. You got the traditional lime.
There you go.
You got dark tequila, you got light tequila. You can't go wrong with a good margarita. It's just a great summertime drink.
Do you know?
And enjoy.
Do you know the margarita was created in Tijuana, Mexico?
Okay.
And it was named after the creator's daughter.
Her name was Margarita?
Her name was Margarita.
So if somebody named, if you ever meet someone named Margarita, they weren't necessarily named after the drink. The drink was named after the person named Margarita.
After them. There you go.
Hold on, man. Hold on. You just hit me with
Buff Nerd.
Damn.
Thanks, Let's Buff go. Nerd.
And actually, so, I got another tidbit for you.
Oh, okay. Okay, go ahead. Go ahead.
The person that created the margarita
mm-hmm.
also created the Caesar salad in Tijuana, Mexico.
There wasn't nobody named Caesar?
I guess.
All right.
Stay sorry.
All right. Number two for me.
My bad, dude.
Number two for me. Something I like to go and get, and you can use so many different whiskeys for this. A good old fashioned. I like a good old fashioned. You can do whiskey old fashioned, bourbon old fashioned, just old fashioned, like old fashioned. Yes, number one, just.
Waiting to use that.
Hey man, I just found it. Yes, love it. Give me some Hennessy VSOP.
Oh,
straight up on the rocks or chilled. I'm in a good place. Put a cigar in my opposite hand of that cup. I'm loving life, man. Those are my top five adult beverages.
That is fantastic, sir. Congrats, you give yourself a hand clap.
Thank you.
I tell you what, man, I'm going to go, not do mine in any particular order. I'm going to go with you, man. Old fashioned, I've kind of just discovered these within the past, maybe 4 or 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
Great. Fantastic. Great. So, yeah, I'm with you. Ice cold beer, as you stated, craft beer is now kind of starting to become part of the thing that I do now. And so I look around and see and, hey, what does this have and what is this made of and what kind of hop is this and that and the other? Man, beer has come a long way, especially if it's ice cold. Man, let's go. Screwdriver. Man, look.
Keep it simple, baby.
Okay. I'm a simple guy, okay?
I can't do the white, though, Jay. I can't do the white.
Now and again, I got to go that route, you know, just because it gives a different kind of vibe. But, yeah, man.
Can I ask you a question before you finish your list? Orange juice, a ruby red grapefruit juice.
That's a great question because I'm going to tell you what, man. I actually go for sometimes a cranberry, which is now a Cape Cod.
Ooh.
Yes.
Okay.
Cape Cod with a lime. Let's go. Get a little fancy, but keep it simple. Mm. Just saying. Yeah, man. That's where I'd go. That's where I go. A nice Cape Cod. Okay. If I don't want the orange juice. If I don't want a screwdriver. Okay. And that leaves me now with, and this is why we're cool with each other. This is why we good. Yak on the rocks. Come on, man. Hennessy VSOP. Listen.
Whoa!
When I take the label off and I uncork it, I take a little whiff of that cork, like right, man. Yes, that does it for me. We'd love to hear what you have to contribute. What's your favorite adventure? Hey, you know what, we may be able to meet you.
And this was tough. We had to leave some good things off, Jay.
Oh man,
we had to leave some really good things off, man.
Fact that I'm about to do a big game. The fact that I had to leave basically Crown and Coke off.
Right. You know what I'm saying? 7-7.
Oh.
Yeah, man.
That's. Mm-hmm. And listen, Crown Apple and Ginger Ale, that will be your friend in this summer. On some ice. That will be your friend.
That's just the bomb. That's the bomb.
That will be your friend this summer. Right. I promise
yes.
you.
Yes. Hey, and see, no. Crown, and everybody who knows me, I know one of my boys was like, dog, you didn't put no Crown Royal on your top five. Because it's so many of them that you can do so many different ways that pair up very well with a lot of different things. Don't get it twisted. That stays on deck in the Canada household. But I was thinking about just a whole variety of top five things you got to have around.
Yeah. And again, that's why the top five is the top five. Listen, I'm Jay Soggs, the buff nerd. Let's go. Look out for things that's going on. Tomorrow we're going to have Chop Shop. I think we're going to do Chop Shop tomorrow, yes?
Chop Shop, Chop Shop, Chop Shop.
Chop Shop is tomorrow.
I don't know what time I'll be able to chop it up, but yeah.
We're going to start sometime around 8:30. I don't know, but we'll be there.
I got a track.
All right.
I'll be there as soon as I get done.
There you go. Check us out there. Blurtitude is coming. He's trying to find a button. Yeah, it's coming. Whatever. Loop Fest will be in Fort Worth. So I'm definitely going to be meeting some great streamers there. So we got to talk about that. Ant-Man and Wasp has come out. So we got to talk about that in Quantumanium. So, and Creed 3. We actually will probably talk about Creed 3 at Blurtitude. So, yeah, check us out there. We're coming down Thursdays.
We've been looking for Blur 2 so long. I got the laws out looking for Blur 2, Joe.
Hey, man, why don't you do your part so we can finish the podcast?
Hey, man, for the Buff Nerd J Styles, I'm your boy, Big Game James. Thank you all for tuning in. Again, if you're checking this out, you didn't check it out live, you're checking it out later, please make sure that you hit that thumbs up, subscribe to the channel. Hey, we are so close. Help us get to 1,500 before we can get ready to try to get to that next major milestone. We want to hit that 2,000. We are almost at that mark. Y'all make sure y'all tell somebody to tell somebody. So for the Buff Nerd, your boy Big Game, you have been watching Big Game Sports Buzz. Until next time, peace.
Yeah. It's a big game. Who you know that got it behind?